It's always hard to come out, to go to church, get out of your PJs, and come to church on a Sunday. Why? When it's cold, or dark, or there's been snow, or it's rained, or the sun's shining. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. It is important not, I'm not putting in a lever or a pry bar here, but it's important that we who hunger and thirst for righteousness expect to be filled. That is a part of meeting together. That just is. And I'm preaching to the choir here. We have a lot of people who come to this church, but I want to encourage you, when you go the extra mile, you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness and the things, this is what it means, the things of righteousness. And Jesus said, you will be filled. You will be filled. There's a satisfaction in your heart and in your life that it complements the spirit part of you. And the reality of who you are begins to rise up more and more, and things begin to change. You are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be filled. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, would you turn to Psalm 91, please? Psalm 91. The title of this series is God Always Provides. And we've been making a little, what we call a declaration or a confession in this series. And the reason we do this is because we're persuading our hearts to actually believe the truth that God always provides, because He always does. And He always provides for you and me. Always. And guess what? It's not based on your performance. It's based on His goodness. It's based on His love. It's based really thoroughly in His absolute grace toward us. God always provides without question. Can you say this with me? God always provides for me. I'll say it again. God always provides for me. Without exception. Without exception. Is anybody, you know what? You don't have to raise your hands, but do you say this during the week? I mean, do you speak this out? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. Speaking life to yourself, you're speaking life to your heart, and you're actually beginning to take your heart. Now, just in case you haven't heard this, what your heart consists of, it is the way we think, our rationalization, our thinking process, how we perceive all the events and the circumstances around us, our mind. That's the first part. Number two is our feelings. I don't mean our emotions that go sky high and drop down in the bucket. Our feelings, our passions, our... Okay, let me give you an example. I really feel strongly about motorcycles. It's carnal. I feel strongly about motorcycles. It has nothing to do with emotion. But I feel strongly about motorcycles because of my connection there. It's just it's a feeling. It's not an emotion. Sometimes it's accompanied by an emotion, especially when somebody's turning in front of you. That was a joke. It's your feelings, your strength of feeling, how you feel about the Lord providing for you. How do you feel about that? Is that a strong feeling? Is it entrenched in your feelings, regardless of what circumstances look like? Those are your feelings. That is number two part of your heart. Number three is your decisions. When we make choices, remember I told you last couple of weeks, I said, God is pro-choice. Don't look at me aghast. I'm not talking about abortion. Abortion is wrong. Abortion is horrible. God is pro-choice in that He has given us free will. And we get to choose what we're going to believe. We do. We get to choose every decision that we make. We are making the choice. And God has given that to us. It's a gift. Because we get to choose life or we get to choose death. That is how this works. So when we choose life, we're choosing that God always provides for me. That's the number three part of our heart. Okay? So our hearts work this way. Now, Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2. This is one of my favorite psalms. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide and remain under the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody said to me one time, what is that secret place? What is it? The secret place, and I'm just going to synopsize this, okay, in the understanding in the Hebrew, it is a place of depth of relationship with God from the heart. Mind, feelings, choices. It's a relationship based on the acceptance of His love and the desire to be close to Him. That's what this is. That is the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is, in His protection and in His provision, where He provides. This is a continuous thing. This isn't something that comes once in a while. It is a continuous thing. And then, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, I will declare of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Now, the title of today's message is called The Trust Challenge. The Trust Challenge. There is a lot of goofy stuff out in the world. And I have you seen on social media, on the internet, these challenges that come, they kind of come through their fads. I think the last one was, and this has got to do with some movie, don't ask me about it because I don't know anything about it. But I remember seeing it in the news, it's called the Bird Box Challenge. Anybody know about that? Okay. How stupid. Really. Let me just synopsis. And I had to read this on the internet to find out what the thing was about. The Bird Box Challenge is about people blinding themselves, going around with bandages or bandanas over their eyes so they cannot see and walking through life that way. And the idea is, this came from some goofy movie about a monster who goes after people who can actually see. If you don't see, if you can't see, then the monster evidently doesn't get you. So people are doing this called the Bird Box Challenge.
Bird brain.
Yeah, Bird Brain Challenge. People do this. There are challenges that are out there that are put out on social media, and really what it's saying is I dare you. I dare you to do this. Now we take these dares a lot of times and don't feel like, you know, if you've done things, don't feel like you're the only one. There's a part of us that was made to conquer. And we do these things a lot of times because we want to prove to ourselves we can do it. That's really what it is. So we take the dare. We take the challenge. Well, you know what? This is about what God providing. Knowing He provides. Every time, everywhere. Looks ahead and furnishes in advance what we need. Those things that are on our hearts. And I'm not talking about things that are against His will. But those things that are on our hearts, as a good dad, as a good father, looks ahead and furnishes in advance for us. Can we take the trust challenge with Him? This is where we struggle. We struggle with the trust challenge with God. Because we're not ready. We can take challenges in all kinds of other areas of our life, but taking a trust challenge for Him to provide whatever that might be that you're looking for and saying, I'm going to trust Him to do this. That's really hard. And yet people can walk around with blinders on their eyes and take a challenge like that. I'd rather take a trust challenge with the Lord, because He will never, ever, 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 ever fail you. Never. Proverbs, would you go to this? Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. Says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. There's a lot in this. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who trusts in his own reasoning, here we go, in our feelings that are misplaced, and in our choices, and we trust in that instead of God. We trust in that instead of His word. We're fools. Plain and simple. And we've all done it. Now I'm not talking about any of you, but I certainly have done it. And what happens is, this is how this works. We make ourselves fools by trusting in our own heart rather than Him and His word. We trust in our own judgments. These are decisions that we make. Our own experiences. Or we trust in other people who may or may not have any kind of godliness in them. We trust in them, and I want to break this down. Let's make this in some secular words. We trust in that rather than God's ethics, His integrity, His power, His ability, and His love for us. We choose to trust in our own heart over trusting Him. This is what happens. So our heart gets us into trouble a lot. And we stumble. And then we wonder, well, God, why aren't you providing? But you see, He really already has. But we're trusting in our own heart more than we trust in Him. That's the challenge. We battle our own hearts. We're not battling anything else. You know, almost none of the time, please hear me on this, almost none of the time is it the devil. Now, I understand how this all works, okay? But for us, receiving God's provision, sometimes it is a devil, but it's not as often as what you might think. Because what we're doing is we are battling our own heart in trusting Him, trusting God. We're battling against us because we are trusting in our own heart. Does that make sense? Okay, stop that. We really want to turn this around. I don't know about the rest of you, but man, I want to see God continually provide for me. Amen. continually provide for Rosie and I, continually provide for this church, continually to provide for your lives, continually to provide for what he wants to do here in Ipsy and beyond. I want that, and I expect it. And my trust, it certainly is not in me or my heart. It is in him. And it's not because I'm the pastor. It's because I have had to learn to live this way for a long time. And it is a process. I'm going to tell you that it doesn't happen overnight. When we get to the end of this message today, I want to work with you to show you how to make this transition. That's really what I want. That's my whole point in this today. How do you make that transition to take the trust challenge and be successful and be the victors and be the conquerors and see the supply of what God has given you in every area that he's promised? I've got a lot of examples. I mean, there's examples all through the Word. I'm going to bullet point these to get to my point. Old Testament, don't go there. I'm just going to say these. I'm going to synopsize them. Old Testament, 2 Kings, chapters 18 and 19. There was a king, a good king, a godly king named Hezekiah. He and Isaiah, they were around at the same time. Isaiah was helping Hezekiah and was kind of, he was his backup man. Hezekiah got surrounded by the Assyrians. They came to attack Judah and Jerusalem and take them out. And so what they did was they surrounded the city, surrounded Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah didn't go, "Oh God, don't you remember all the things I did for you? And how well I did, and how I took all the old idols out, and how I got the people turned their hearts toward you. Come on. What's up with this? Why aren't these people doing it?" Because people do things. That's why. Because the devil is real, and the devil prompts people, and flesh prompts people, and people want, and people take. And it happens in our lives. But this king of Assyria surrounded Jerusalem with tens of thousands of soldiers. Wow! I mean, just went on for miles. So Hezekiah says, "What am I going to do, Lord?" I mean, he laid it out in front of him. The captain of the soldiers told Hezekiah, really, in essence, "I dare you to trust your God. I dare you to." So Isaiah and Hezekiah got together, and Isaiah said, "Don't you worry about it. God's got your back. He'll provide." So Hezekiah took the trust challenge. Now this all happened in a very short time. And the next morning, they wake up, they look over the walls of Jerusalem, and God had taken out the whole army. 185,000 set up against God's people. And the Lord defeated the Assyrians completely, because God, no matter what the circumstances, always provides. Will you take the trust challenge in the things that you face? Second event, Matthew chapter 14, well known to a lot of believers. Jesus sends his disciples one day. He goes up to pray and he sends his disciples. It's go across Lake Galilee, get to the other side. I'll meet you there. And in the middle of the night, what we call the middle of the night, they're rowing and rowing and rowing. Man, they're not getting anywhere. The wind's blowing and the waves are high and they're pushing against the boat. And you know, they could have just quit and gave up. They kept going, but they weren't making any headway. Well, all of a sudden, and there's no streetlights, all of a sudden, here's this figure in the mist, in the dark. And they freaked out. Jesus, Peter calls out, and the disciples called out, and Jesus says, "Hey guys, it's me." Now Peter says, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come out." He says, "Come on, Pete, step out of the boat." You know, at that very moment, Peter's rational mind, his feelings, and his choice were made. And he dared to trust God, to care for him. He dared to trust God to do the supernatural. He dared to trust the Word. He took the challenge. He gets out of the boat. And everybody focuses on the sinking because the circumstances all rise up. Who wouldn't freak out? Looking at the waves and the wind and thinking, you begin to run this through your mind, your thinking process, going, I'm walking on water. Oh my goodness. And he began to lose sight. So he began to sink. And Jesus grabs a hold, picks him up, walks him back to the boat, and says, it'll be okay. And they're at the other side. Now, Peter took the trust challenge. That's exactly what he did. I'm going to trust you. And look what happened. I haven't walked on water yet. We're fighting against our hearts so many times. Last one. Another familiar one. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. You don't have to go there. I'm going to have to synopsize this. There's a very wealthy, young corporate CEO. Lots of holdings, lots of money, lots of wealth, lots of land and properties. Kind of a Mark Zuckerberg or Zuckerberg of that time. And he comes up to Jesus and his disciples and he says, Lord, what do I need to do to get eternal life? I've been good. I've followed the commandments. I've been a good guy. I've done everything right. What else do I need to do? And Jesus said, lose it all. Give it up. Take up your cross. Come follow me. Well, it's pretty simple, and I won't go into the whole dissertation of this. But here's the point. He walked away sadly. And when he walked away, this is what happened. In his mind, he wanted the things of God. His feelings were for God. But his choice was not. Because he walked away sadly. He said, I don't want this. I'm not going to take up the cross and follow you and give everything up. So the disciples say to Jesus, oh my gosh. We've given everything up. We've given it all up. We gave up our businesses, our lands. We gave up our families. To follow you. What about us? And Jesus told them, he says, you can't trust in riches. They'll fail you. They'll let you down. Can't do that. Can't trust in riches. Can't trust in wealth. Can't trust in what you've amassed. Can't trust in your 401k. You can't trust in your retirement, your pension. You can't trust in what your job brings in right now. You can't trust in what somebody leaves you. You can't trust in those things. You see, Jesus gave him the trust challenge. And he turned it down. Even though he wanted it in his mind. But he wasn't willing to make the choice. He chose not to. And this is what Jesus said to the disciples when they said, what about us? We've dared to trust you. We've taken the trust challenge. And Jesus said, Mark 10, verses 29 and 30. And I can see him saying this to us as kids. Just little kids saying, thanks for taking care of me. Assuredly, I say to you, There is no one, no one, who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100 times more now in this time, in this life, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, children and lands with persecutions at times, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, that's for those who take the trust challenge. Trust is the basis of faith. You cannot jump into faith without trust. We know that we grab a hold of, by faith, what God has given us through grace. We know that. In order to live in faith, because the just shall live by faith, in order to live in faith, we must be able to trust God. Can't trust Him? What's that got? If you don't trust somebody you're believing in who's promised you something, wouldn't that dilute your faith? James 2, I'm going to read just one scripture. Go to James chapter 2, because God has given us a trust challenge very clearly. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 18. Here it is. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." And I encourage you to read this through to verse 20. James is saying, I dare you to trust God enough to do something about it. There it is. That's the challenge. Don't just sit there and say, I'm trusting God, I'm trusting God. I dare you, I challenge you to trust God to the point where you do something that it makes you move in that area. It makes you steadfast in that area. It makes you immovable in that area because you trust God. I was having some time in my office, and I wasn't even thinking about the message. I was just talking with the Lord. And God gave me a picture. This is how the Lord deals with me, speaks to me. A lot of times, He gives me pictures. And sometimes they're, you can really spiritualize it and call it a mini vision, because it probably was. But this was for me, and I want to share this with you. Because I'm trusting God for things that I haven't seen Him yet, but I know in my mind and in my feelings and in my decision maker that they are there. I know that because I trust God. I've taken that trust challenge. Now, He showed me this. We base our trust on what we see. Please understand this, with the eyes of our heart. The eyes of our heart. Just exactly what I spoke to you just now, with our thinking, our feelings, and our decisions. We trust what we see with that. That's part of us trusting in our own heart rather than who He is and what He says. So here, this picture. I'm on a football field. I can see it as plain as day. I'm at the 50-yard line. And I'm headed one way, toward the end. And I look over, and this is all things, I've been just thinking about the things that I've been trusting God on. And I'm looking over to the bleachers. There's two bleachers on either side of me, and huge, and these bleachers. I look over there, and it is packed full. There is no room at all, and it is the devil with all his hordes. screaming and shouting and saying, trust your heart. Trust what you see. Listen to us. Hear us. And on the other side, I saw Jesus just sitting there by himself, about the middle of the bleachers. It was uncanny, real. And he wasn't making any noise. He wasn't jumping up and down trying to get my attention. He was just sitting there and looking at me. And I looked at him for a while. And I, in my thinking, I knew about his power and his ability. And he said to me, trust me. Trust who I am. Trust my word. And then he opened my eyes. And not only were the bleachers packed with angels, heavenly warriors, but they overflowed and went back into the horizon. Trust in me. Trust in my word. Trust in who I am. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes. Always stays the same for us. Here's my close. The degree of trust, the depth of trust, the amount of trust, the weight of the trust that you give to him will determine your stand of faith. And it is that faith that produces visible substance of what God has already seen and furnished ahead for you. Would you like me to read that again? The degree of trust that we give to him will determine our stand of faith. This is an individual thing. And it is that faith that produces visible, tangible substance of what God has already seen and furnished ahead for you. Amen. Now, I could go a lot more on this. This is a big, big subject. These are the crucial aspects of God providing the things that we've been covering. If you will take the trust challenge, you will not be disappointed. But the battleground is your heart. Now, I've done this, okay? Your heart is what you're fighting against to trust him. It is not the circumstances. It is not the devil. Nobody can rob you. They can try and they might pull some things. But you see, God always provides for you. Always. Even if some people step in and try to slip some things away, God always provides for you. You're battling your heart. You're really not battling them. Here's how you do this. You have to dare your heart to take the trust challenge. You do that by speaking out of your mouth you who are battling your heart and trusting Him have to speak to your heart and dare or challenge your heart to trust Him. That's your stand. And when you do that, when you make that stand, that turns to faith. And in that stand of faith, the visible provision, supply happens. Anybody want to do the dare today? Anybody want to do the challenge?
Yeah.
Would you stand up? Now we've had a lot of healings and miracles and signs and wonders and lots of moves and the supernatural. But in our own lives, where it gets really personal, you want to see more? Unless you're just satisfied. I'm not satisfied. Then you have to challenge your heart to mark this day and begin to trust Him. Period. You tell your heart to do this. Now I'm going to lead, and I want to suggest you close your eyes and shut out everybody else around you, because this really ain't anybody else's business but you and the Lord. But it's something, I've done it. Made a change in me. I'm done fighting with my heart. So let me start. And if you mean it, you follow. Father, in Jesus' name, as your child, it is my will to trust you more than I ever have. And so, Lord, here we go. Now think about your own heart and picture it however you want to picture it. And say it like this. Heart. In the name of Jesus,
I say to you,
I will
trust God
to provide for me from now on.
I am taking
the trust challenge
for the rest of my life.
And I will see
the benefits
of trusting God
to provide always
for me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, the last part of this is expect it. Expect it. It is an absolute expectation because this is a done deal. You have given your heart the trust challenge and your heart has taken it. You have decided. You have chosen. Now, choose to expect it. Choose to expect God to provide always for you from now on.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
This is every area. Amen?
Amen?
There's nothing limited. Amen?
Amen?
Nothing left out. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing. Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for today, for the changes that are happening in our lives and our church, but most of all, Lord, the changes happening for our church family, for their lives, because they can trust you. Thank you, Lord, for showing them mightily and wonderfully, each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to wrap. And I want to do this a little differently today. But everybody that's got a business, I'm to pray for you. If you have a business and you want it blessed, I'm supposed to pray for you today. Anybody want it? Come on up. Just stand up in the front here. Wow. Praise the Lord. Just keep going. Line up, because I'm just going to go right on down the row. Okay? Let's leave this on the podcast. All right? And the rest of you, if you want to go, you can go. You're dismissed. I think there's still coffee and water out there and fellowship out there, or you can stick around. Okay? God wants your businesses blessed. He wants you to know that your businesses are blessed. And He wants you to start seeing the differences in your businesses because they're blessed. This is what He wants. This is exactly what He wants. Sean, you're supposed to be up here. Can you come up? Praise God. Praise God. I keep thinking there's somebody else. Anybody left out? Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm not going to spend a whole long time, but I'm going to speak to you. If God tells me to speak to you about a certain thing, I will. But I'm supposed to lay my hands on you and just call your business blessed. And it is up to you, this is your part, to receive it. Because we're agreeing together on this, in what He's done and what He's given. Through His grace. Okay? We all right with that? Cool.